people at New Hope over this last month. It's so awesome to see a lot of you new faces. And this morning, I want to prepare all of us, and especially those of you who are new, to understand how we work here at New Hope. One thing we do here at New Hope is we have a teaching team, which means every week we have a team of people that get together to talk about the sermon, to talk about how it went the week before, to talk about what we're teaching on the next week and the weeks to come, and we work together as a team to work on these series and the messages. And that teaching team also preaches and teaches. And we're grateful to have an awesome team. We've got Tony on the team and Pastor Jim, and you're going to hear from Pastor Nikki in just a moment. We have Sam Spence, who preaches from time to time, and myself, and we work on all that together. And so those of you, I don't know, different people come from different backgrounds. I just want to let you know that we believe that also God has gifted, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts to both men and women equally. That God shows us that through all the New Testament on how he works, and we're grateful to have an awesome, strong, godly woman, Nikki Broughton, who has a gift of teaching. Every time she teaches, you all say, "Tim, watch out." Like, and I'm like, "I know, she's good. Like, she's got a gift." And so this morning, we get to hear a powerful message and part of her story on this whole topic, and that's why she's bringing the message today. This is a part of her story and her testimony of learning what this looks like and how to walk into freedom. And so I want you guys to welcome Nikki to the stage.
Thank you, guys. That was very sweet and generous of you. So I'm excited about the message that God has put on my heart to share with all of you guys this morning. So as Pastor Tim said, that we are currently in a series called Forgiving, and we started this series last Sunday. And last Sunday, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it yet, I highly recommend going back and listening to the message. Just go to our church website, mynewhope.tv, go to videos, go to sermons, click on last week's message, and you can hear what Pastor Tim had to preach on. But last Sunday, he preached on three things. He preached on, the first thing he preached on is that God is holy, that God is without sin, that it's impossible for God to sin because he is holy, he's perfect. The second thing that he preached on is that we are all sinners. Because of our sin, we are forever separated from God. God is holy. He is without sin. We are full of sin, and we are separated from him. However, God sent his son Jesus down on this earth to die on the cross as payment for our sins. Jesus' death on the cross means we no longer have to be separated from our perfect and holy God. All we need to do is ask Jesus to forgive us, and he promises that he will forgive us. And that's when we celebrated communion last Sunday. Do you remember that? It was broken up into three sections. That second session, we learned about how Jesus is the one that paid the payment for our sins, and then we celebrated communion. And then Pastor Tim went into the third part of his message last Sunday, that Jesus has forgiven us, so we need not live in shame or condemnation. If you've already asked Jesus to forgive you for a sin in your life, but you keep feeling guilty for that sin, that guilt is not from him. It's over. He already removed that sin from you. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus, he means what he says. There's also a verse in the Bible that says that he removes it as far as the east is from the west. Now, it's not that Jesus forgot, because he's an all-knowing God. Jesus doesn't forget our sins. He removes them from us. And he casts them as far as the east is from the west. The sin we committed has been covered by the blood of Jesus, and we are made clean by that blood. So there's no reason to ever live in shame or condemnation after we ask Jesus to forgive us from our sins. We have to trust him that he has made us right. He is the one that makes us holy. He is the one that makes us righteous. He transfers his holiness and his righteousness onto us, which is an amazing gift. So last week, Pastor Tim introduced the series. He talked about that we have been forgiven. So if you need to learn more about learning that you've been forgiven, watch last week's message, okay? Today, we are going to start the conversation of how to forgive others. And that's a hard one. So today, I'm going to be teaching on how to forgive others. And because we feel like we probably need more than one lesson in this, Pastor Jim's going to be preaching next Sunday. And he's also going to continue the topic of how to forgive others. And then in the fourth message of this series, Pastor Tim will come back to wrap it all up for us. So last week was how Jesus forgave us. and how that realizing that Jesus has forgiven us is a very important first step. If we don't understand that we have been forgiven, it's going to be really hard to transfer that on to how to forgive others. So understanding how understanding how we transfer that forgiveness that Jesus has given us onto people that have sinned against us is the step that we're going to do today, and this step can be very tricky. It can be hard. It can be really hard to transfer the forgiveness that Jesus has given us onto people that have hurt us. It can be very tricky to do that. Raise your hand if someone has sinned against you at one point in your life. If your hand isn't raised, you've never left your house, okay? If you have lived some life, then you have had someone sin against you. Because we live in a very broken and sinful world. We live with pride. We live with selfish ambition. We live with people that the only thing that they know is how to hurt people. You've all heard the saying that hurt people hurt people. And that's a true statement. I've seen that happen so many times. People that have had others sin against them a lot can tend to follow that pattern. And you are never more prone to sin than when you have been sinned against. I've also seen people hurt people that don't seem to have a giant backstory. It's like you had two parents that loved you. You seem like you came from a stable home. So like, what's up with you? I've seen that too. And I've seen people that didn't mean to hurt people. And I'm one of those. That I sin against people and I don't mean to sin against people. And then I have to ask forgiveness for sinning against people. Because the thing is, and this is in your worship program, so get out a pen, now's your time. It starts with the letter S, and it's something that happens, and it's called sin. Sin happens. Now, you may have thought I was going to say a different word, and that would be true as well. That happens too. And that happens to all of us. I heard it. Yes, it does. And whether it's that word or it's this word, it hurts. And it leaves us with scars. And here's what we're going to be talking about today. Untreated wounds create painful triggers. Untreated wounds create painful triggers. And that's why we need to talk about forgiveness. The people that have sinned against us wounded us in some way. And when we don't care for that wound, then it's not going to heal. And a wound that hasn't healed is still going to cause us pain. Have you ever had a wound and it took a while to heal? And you had to care for that wound? Because if not, then it was still going to cause you pain. If you choose to continue to walk around with an unhealed wound, you will do two things. If you walk around with an unhealed wound, you will, number one, be in pain, and number two, you will cause others pain. Because who is on your best behavior when you're in pain? When you're in pain, it can be hard to be patient. It can be hard to be loving. It can be hard to be kind to those around us. And the reason is because when we're in pain, we're not focusing on how to love others. We're focusing on our own hurt. And a lot of us are walking around with untreated wounds. And that cause painful triggers. And a trigger is when somebody comes up to you and you could choose to be loving to them, or you could choose to hurt them. And we don't want to be people that hurt people. We want to be people that we treat our wounds until they heal, so that we are walking around being healed and we are walking around being whole. So we need to learn how to forgive. Now, in saying all of this, I don't want to make light over how you've personally been hurt or sinned against, because I know a lot of you in this room, and I've heard a lot of your stories. And I don't want you to think that I'm making light over the fact, but Nikki, you don't know what's happened to me. There's absolutely no way I could ever forgive that. Because what you've gone through has been hurtful, and it's been very real, and it's been very painful. And a lot of you have those kind of stories. Some of your stories, the only word appropriate to describe what you have been through is horrific. Some of you guys have been through some really, really tough stuff in your life. And you've been abused. And I want to say that abuse happens to everyone. So whether or not you could be thinking about what we're talking about today, and I want you to know that abuse happens to everyone. It's just at different levels. I've personally experienced verbal and emotional abuse in different seasons of my life from people. Some of you have experienced physical and sexual abuse in your life. And I just want to tell you right now, you didn't deserve it. And it was wrong. And it shouldn't have happened to you. And it wasn't right, the abuse that you've been through in your life. And for a lot of you, no one ever said they were sorry, and no one ever asked to forgive you for what happened. I want you to look at a picture up on the screen for just a second. I pray you heal from things no one ever apologized for. I know this sounds really crazy, and we're all in this space together, but nobody's looking at you, and no one knows what's going on inside your own head, okay? Because we aren't mind readers. We can't. Only God knows what's going on inside your head. We don't know what's going on inside your head. So in your own private space right there, in your own private thoughts, think about what are some things that have happened to you that was abusive, but nobody ever apologized. Nobody ever said, I'm sorry. Because every single one of us has those things that have happened to us. All of us have had these kind of things happen to us. And for those of you that are in this room, or those of you that are listening online right now, or whether you listen to this message later, I want to say to all of you that I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry for what you've had to go through. And it wasn't right, and it was wrong, and you were hurt. And although you may never hear it from the person that sinned against you, I'm sorry you were hurt, and I'm sorry it's happened. Okay, we can take that down. Thank you, Sean. Now, just to speak personally, because that's all I can do is speak personally from my own hurts, there were a few doozies that happened in my own life. Some of them were ministry hurts, and I'm not going to go into that here. But one of the biggest abusive situations in my own life came from my dad. It came from my father, my dad. I think the biggest wounds come from when someone you should have been able to trust hurt you. If someone I don't know says something inappropriate to me, it's a lot easier to brush it off than if it comes from someone I should have been able to trust. We get hurt the deepest when it's someone that was close to us that caused the hurt. And so many times it was someone that should have been looking out for our best interest that ends up being the one to sin against us in the biggest way. My dad was someone I should have been able to trust, but he wasn't. He lived a lifestyle that pleased and suited him. And when he was finally confronted with it, he chose that lifestyle over his family. And the times I confronted him over his choices, he would blame shift. So he'd tell me it was my fault that our family fell apart. He told me it was my fault that he and my mom got divorced, which is really fun words to hear when you're 17 years old. Does anybody have any yellers in your life? People that their face physically turns red, and when they talk to you, they just spew out at you in their anger. Just so you know, that's called verbal abuse, and it's not very fun. My dad was great about sinning against me, my mom, my sister, my grandparents, my aunt and uncle. To all the people I loved the most in this world, my dad would bring to tears by how badly they were hurt because of him. And it's like we all expected him to be someone we could trust, but he wasn't. and we all kept getting hurt over and over again by him. And all of those hurts ended up piling up like a huge brick wall in my life. Eventually, I felt myself growing bitter, and I started to become emotionally numb to things. Now, it's normal for me in my personality to be sympathetic towards others. Like, if you were to talk to me and you'd be crying, I will cry with you, okay? Like, that's just me and my personality. But during this time, I was numb to everything, and I went like a year and a half with not crying at all. Just nothing broke through the wall to get me to have an emotion or to feel. And I didn't really like myself at that time because a numb version of me didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. So over time, I started to crack my shell a little bit, and I asked for help. And I found a pastor that I had known and that had known my family. He even knew my dad for a little while too. He knew my dad pretty well. And I stole a few minutes with that pastor at a conference, at a church conference that I was attending. And I told him that I have no idea how to even begin the process of how to forgive my dad. Maybe I could dismiss how he treated me, but I had no desire to forgive how he treated my mom or how he treated my grandparents and the people that I cherished, because they had gone through a lot because of him, and it would make me so angry every time I would think about it. And the pastor I talked to said to me that I needed to, these were his words, tear down the wall I had built. And I told him that I had no idea how. I don't know how to do that. And he told me that I need to do it, and this was again was his words, one brick at a time. He told me I need to tear it down one brick at a time. And each brick would represent one sin. And some of the bricks, he said this to me, may need to carry around a little while before I'd be ready to discard it, and other bricks would be easier to discard. And I want to share this with all of you because I think that some of you need to hear the process of forgiveness. Because I learned that forgiveness is a process. Okay, I'm not sure where that came from. There, okay. I lived that forgiveness is a process. So, it's not something that normally, if we've really been sinned against, that we can just wake up one day and go, that's over, I'm done with that. It doesn't normally work that way. It can work that way if somebody cuts you off in line at the grocery store, but not if you have been abused. And the forgiveness that we're talking about today is like the deep-hearted, deep-seated type of forgiveness. And for a lot of us, it's going to be a process. For the big hurts in life, you don't just wake up one day and say, I'm done with this. You usually have to process it one hurt or one brick at a time. And for me, it took a good 2 years until my wall was all of the way down. That process was a 2-year process. Once I decided I don't want this wall in my life anymore, it took 2 years to get it knocked down. When I knew that I was no longer walking in hurt, but I was walking in forgiveness and healing, I had tremendous peace. I felt free. This hurt, this wound that I'd been carrying around for a long time was gone. However, if I would have continued to let that wall stay up in my life, that would have been an untreated wound, that would have continued to be a painful trigger in my life that I would have brought into every relationship that I had. And here's what we're going to be learning today. Forgiveness is both a decision and a process. Before I had to start making the process of forgiveness, I had to decide that I was going to do it. A lot of us need to get to the point where we decide, I'm no longer going to walk around with this. I need to start the process. So forgiveness is both a decision and a process. And forgiveness is based on our cooperation with what God has already done for us. Forgiveness is based on our cooperation with what God has already done for us. Which is why we started this series with Pastor Tim's message last week about how we are forgiven. When we forgive others, it's just cooperation with what God has already done for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We forgive because we have been forgiven. So forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. They may never ask for our forgiveness, but between us and God, we can forgive them anyways. Remember last Sunday when Pastor Tim talked about how we are all sinners, that Jesus paid a huge debt that he paid with his own life in order for us to have the gift of forgiveness because of our own sins. So the point of this passage in Ephesians 4:32 is that forgiven people are to be forgiving people. Forgiven people are to be forgiving people. And it's not my job and it's not your job to teach the other person who wronged us a lesson. We just have to decide. It's a decision, and we have to go through the process of doing it because of the fact that it is an obedience issue of something that God has told us to do. And again, I'm not making light, and I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying that we are to be forgiving people because we are forgiven, and it's not really about the other person. This is something that you do between you and God, between you and Jesus. Because forgiveness is our path to healing. It's not about you waiting to heal based off of what the person who hurt us is doing. Because you holding on to the hurt until the person who hurt you fully understands how badly you were hurt by them is only going to actually end up hurting you. The people who sinned against you are going to keep on living their lives, and you are going to keep on living yours. So you have to choose what kind of life do you want to live. And it is a choice. So my main passage this morning is going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew, chapter 18, we're going to go through a story that Jesus gave us about what Jesus has to say about forgiveness, okay? So Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. When you're with me, say yep. All right, got a lot of yep, so here we go. All right. Then Peter, disciple Peter, always spoke first, thought second. I love Peter. Came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Peter thought he was being super generous with that, right? He thought he was being pretty smart. Like, okay, God, how many times do you forgive somebody? Up to seven times? And then Jesus answered, that's a good one, Peter. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Oh, not what Peter was thinking, right? Basically, Jesus is saying to us, no matter how many times somebody sins against you, you always need to forgive. Then Jesus told a story. And this is the story he told his disciples. Verse 23 starts the story. Therefore, Jesus is saying the story, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay, the king in this story represents God. And all of us represents the servants, okay? So the kingdom of heaven is like God, Jesus, who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, us. As the king began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So this servant owed the king 10,000 bags of gold. Since he was not able to pay, since the servant wasn't able to pay, the master, the king, ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. Dude, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. You can't pay it? Okay, so you're going to sell everything, like literally everything, to repay the debt. In verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. He's saying, will you please forgive me for my debt? That's what he's saying. Will you forgive me for my debt? And verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, the king, represents God, he took pity on him, and he didn't say, okay, you can go until you can repay. He canceled the debt and let him go. He said, you don't owe anything. I forgive you for all of it. The 10,000 bags of gold have been forgiven. Verse 28, when that servant who had just been forgiven all of his 10,000 bags of gold of debt went out, he found one of his buddies, one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 silver coins. Now, he had just been forgiven 10,000 bags of gold, and his buddy owes him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed his buddy and began to choke him. And he said, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. So this guy, his buddy, is saying, will you forgive me for the debt that I owe you? Verse 30, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. So he was forgiven of his debt, but he refused to forgive his buddy for the debt that he owed him. Verse 31, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. So God called the servant in, and he said, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. You asked me for forgiveness, and I gave it to you. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat, and that was the end of the story, verse 34. The guy got put into jail. The debt that had been canceled is no longer canceled. And then this is what Jesus says to his disciples. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. That's kind of a hard story, isn't it? Yep. It's a hard story because Jesus forgave him until he wasn't willing to forgive somebody else. And then after he wasn't willing to forgive somebody else, then that debt was back on him again. Okay, so the point of the story is, how much did that person owe Jesus? It was 10,000 bags of gold. And if that represents our sin, what we have sinned against God, okay, follow me here for a second, okay? Whatever we forgive against someone else, the 100 silver coins. I'll do math here in a second for you. Whatever we forgive against someone else is pocket change compared to what Christ has already forgiven us of. Amen. Jesus was the king or the master who wanted to settle the accounts with the servants, and the master in the story forgave the servant for 10,000 bags of gold worth of debt, and a bag of gold is probably worth around $800,000. Dollars. One bag is worth $800,000. So in the story, the master forgave the servant for $8 billion. That represents all of our sin, every sin that we've ever committed against Jesus. So the master, God, forgave him for $8 billion worth of debt. So whether you do this math in current day wages or Bible day wages, we're talking about billions of dollars worth of sin that Jesus has forgiven all of us of. But the servant in the story would not forgive his buddy for 100 silver coins. And that would be worth, a silver coin would be a day's wages. So that would be 100 days wages, and that would be around $10,000. Now, $10,000 is a lot of money. I'm not saying that it's not a lot of money, but $10,000 compared to $8 billion is a huge difference. That's a lot of differences in zeros. Jesus has forgiven us billions of dollars worth of sins. And I don't know the difference between $8 billion and $10,000, but the point is that Jesus is making a point that it's billions of dollars versus pocket change. And Jesus gets pretty annoyed when we choose not to forgive a few dollars from a fellow sinner like ourselves when he has forgiven us billions. And again, I'm not making light what has happened to you, because what has happened to you is horrific and it is hard to forgive. And I'm not making light of that. But Jesus knows us so intimately well. He knows every thought we have. Yikes. He knows every action. Yikes. And every word that comes out of our mouth, even the ones that are underneath our breath. So he has forgiven us for way more than we're ever going to be forgiving somebody else for. So when Jesus says that we need to forgive, we need to realize that forgiveness is an act of obedience. In Matthew 6:14-15, it says this: "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And we wrestle with this. It just kind of seems like weird theology. Like, what do you mean? Like, I thought when you say that Jesus will forgive me, that he'll forgive me. And that's a true statement. Jesus will forgive you. But this is also in the Bible too, and we can't really ignore it. Jesus wants us to live as forgiven people, so we will be forgiving people, is what he's saying here. The servant was put into prison after he was already forgiven. He was put into prison after he refused to forgive his buddy. He was a forgiven person, and he wouldn't be a forgiving person. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us, and remember that forgiveness is an act of obedience. It's something that Jesus tells us to do. It's something that we just need to make the choice to do it. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, it says, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you." If God kept a record of all of our sins, who could ever stand? But because of Jesus, there is forgiveness, and so that we can serve him, and so that we can obey him. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. Now, we're talking a lot about forgiveness, but I want to give a couple of points of what forgiveness is not, okay? I want to be very clear at what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not acceptance. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay what happened. That's not what forgiveness is. So I don't want you to think that, like, she just wants me to just be okay with what happened. I'm not okay with what happened. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not acceptance. It's not saying it's okay what happened. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. It's a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. It's a choice. And forgiveness is not exempting from consequences. Bad decisions have consequences. And so if somebody that sinned against you, don't think that they just get off scot-free because of what they did, okay? Decisions have consequences. We all know that. We learned that in kindergarten, right? You didn't follow the rules. You had to go up and move your little marker to one side of the tree or whatever it was because you didn't follow the rules, right? We learn very early in life that decisions have consequences, and it's true here too. Forgiveness is not exempting from consequences. What forgiveness is, as forgiveness is releasing the person from the sin they committed against you. And we do this not on our own strength, but in Jesus' strength. Don't try to do this on your own strength. You need to do this in Jesus' strength. Forgiveness is something that is way beyond me. It's way beyond us. Like, we have to do this in Jesus' strength. And in Jesus' power. And we also need to remember that God will be the ultimate judge. In Romans 12, 17 through 19, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." That's hard. If somebody says unkind words to me, I have unkind words for them in my head that I want to spew back at them, right? But that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to love him and love others. And that means we have to look different. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful. I love that. Be careful. Stop what you're about to say and shush it and be careful. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, I love this, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We're not going to be able to live at peace with everyone, which is why it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. There are some people that we will not be able to live at peace with. If someone continues to sin against you over and over again, yes, we do need to forgive 70 times 7. We've already covered that. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to create a boundary in your life with that person. For some people, it's not possible to live at peace with them. That happened in my relationship with my dad. I talked to a lot of people. I'm thankful that I get the opportunity to meet with lots of people. And there's been several people that I've shared this journey with, what I'm sharing with you today. And when I share this journey, I said that it's like somebody coming up to you, and they come up to you, and you're like, "Oh, hey," and they're like, "Hey," and they come up to you, and they stomp on your foot. And you're like, "What was that?" And they're like, "You just stomped on my foot." And they're like, "No, I didn't." And you're like, "Well, that was weird. Okay, whatever." And they, you know, you have a conversation, they walk away. And then the next time you see them, a couple weeks later, you go by, you see them again, and they go come up to you, and they're like, "Hey," and you're like, "Hey," and they stomp on your foot again. And you're like, "What's the deal? Like, why do you keep doing that to me?" You're like, "You stomped on my foot again." They're like, "No, I didn't. No, I didn't stomp on your foot." And you're like, "What? Like, this is really weird." So a couple weeks go by, and you see them again, and they go, "Hey," and you go, "Hey," and guess what you do? You take a step back. Right? Like, I have learned my lesson with you. You're going to stomp on my foot again, and I don't want you to stomp on my foot again because it hurts. Right? As far as is possible, it's possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, but you're not going to be able to live at peace with everyone. Sometimes we need to take a step back from the people or the relationships that cause us pain. And it's okay to do that. You are a child of God, highly loved, highly valued, highly favored. You don't have to allow abusive people in your life. It's okay. It's okay to take steps back and to create boundaries. Yes? Okay. Verse 19. To these people that have stepped on our foot, and worse, do not take revenge. My dear friends, I love how he says, "my dear friends." He's like, "I love you, and I know it's hard to not want to take revenge." So he's like, "Okay, kids, like, I love you. You're my friends. I know it's hard, but don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine, it is God's to avenge. I, God, will repay, says the Lord." He knows what's happened to you. And he says, "You don't take revenge. I've got this. I've got this. I'm your father. I love you. I see I will be the one to take revenge. And who do you think is better at repaying back someone that has sinned? Us or the God who knows all and sees all and has everything at his disposal and has lived from the beginning and who has no end?" Jesus asks us to love and trust him. We focus on Jesus. We love Jesus and we love others, and God will take care of it and he will take care of you. Because the reality is, and this is actually my main point for the whole entire message, so I hope that you've heard a lot and listened and learned a lot through this, but if you don't get anything else, this is what I really, really want you to get, that forgiveness is really only about two people, Jesus and you. We complicate it when we make this forgiveness to be around the other person who has sinned against us, when really forgiveness is about two people, and the person that wronged you isn't not one of them. Forgiveness is about Jesus and you. Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. So that's between Jesus and you. Jesus wants you to forgive others when they sin against you. So that's between Jesus and you. Jesus will be the one to judge those that have sinned against you. So that's between Jesus and you. So forgiveness is really only about two people, Jesus and you. Right? And I think that when we really understand this, we can be so much more open to forgiving the people that have sinned against us. When we realize it's really not about them, this is about my relationship with Jesus. So this is about Jesus and you. There's other notes that I have. All right, do you guys get this? Like, get this? Okay, great, okay. I didn't know how long it would take me to say this, and I have a couple more notes here at the bottom that I'm gonna take like 3 minutes. Like, is it okay if like, it's just gonna be like you're in school and I'm the teacher, okay? And this last part I haven't practiced. I have like two words written down. So this is really gonna be like me teaching you because I don't even have this written down. Okay. You guys got this. This is about Jesus and you, right? Forgiving people, that's hard. Okay, now, forgiveness opens the way for positive change too. So, if you're the one that has sinned, then you should ask people to forgive you because we are Christ followers. And so if you have sinned against someone, you should seek reconciliation in that relationship, which means that you should go to the person that you sinned against and say, I'm sorry, it was wrong what I did. Say what you did. Don't just say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? When people do that to me, I go, sorry for what? I want to know that they know what they did. Maybe that's me. But it would be good for you when you ask forgiveness to admit what you have done and to say, I'm sorry, this is what I did. Will you forgive me? If a person asks for forgiveness, then we, as Christ followers, need to forgive them and say yes. Now, Pastor Tim did this to me a couple weeks ago. He did something, and I don't even remember what it was, so that really shows like it was not a big deal. But I was cranky and like upset at the moment, and so I wasn't in a very forgiving spirit. And he said, will you forgive me? And he knew I didn't want to say yes, and I was like, doggone it, like. And he was laughing at me, which didn't help at all. And he's like, will you forgive me? And I'm like, and I'm like, yes, you know. And he laughed. I'm like, oh, just go away. Anyways. But the point is that we need to ask for forgiveness when we've sinned against somebody. And if somebody's asked us for forgiveness, then we need to say yes to them. Because forgiveness brings reconciliation. And then if it's a person, like I had a friend who did this with me that I didn't have a relationship with for almost a year because that wasn't my choice, it was her choice, but she had said some things to me that weren't exactly true, and she kind of walked away from our relationship, a friendship that the two of us had. And then she wanted to meet me for lunch, and I agreed to do that, and she asked for forgiveness. And she was like, Nikki, I was wrong by what I did, and I shouldn't have treated you that way. And you are one of my really good friends, and I didn't treat you that way, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. And I so easily gave that to her. And that the thing is, like, forgiveness can lead to reconciliation, which leads to a new relationship. And I told my friend, I said, you know what? Right here, right now, this is what I said to her. Like, we were sitting in a restaurant, and I said, right here, right now, we're drawing a line. And I just literally, like, drew a line on the table like this, and I said, that's in the past. And we're over it, and we're just going to move forward. And she cried, and she was like, thank you so much. And we hugged right in the middle of a restaurant and stuff like that. But the thing is that, like, asking for forgiveness brings reconciliation and can bring a new relationship that you haven't had before. So it's really important to live in that as Christ followers. Okay, I already talked about that. Okay, here we go. So two more super fast things, okay? I only get to preach not very often, so I want to make sure that I share with you everything that I could share with you. Okay, you're good. Thanks, Tab. Okay, so the other thing is that, like, how do you forgive somebody that's never asked for forgiveness, that when you go up to them and say, like, I forgive you, you go through the process and you make the decision, like, how do you do that? Because it's not like my dad's ever asked me to forgive him, and I don't think he ever will, but I have forgiven him, okay? But it's not going to actually do really any good for me to go up to my dad and say, I forgive you, because he'll be like, forgive me for what? You know, so, like, that's not even going to be very helpful. So, like, it's like, what do you do to, how do you forgive somebody that you're not going to tell them, I forgive you? Really what it is it's forgiveness in your heart. Like, between me and God, I'm done with this, and between me and God, it's right. Okay? So that's just, like, forgiveness in your heart. And what I want to say to some of you is, some of you have pain against somebody who is deceased. Some of you have pain against somebody that has already died. And you're like, well, how do I even deal with that? You still need to break down that wall, and you still need to go through that process. And I would say, write a letter and take it to the cemetery and read it out loud, or whatever it is that you need to do to move on. Because it's never too late to have forgiveness, ever. Until you're passed away, it's never too late to have forgiveness. And so I just want to encourage you all that forgiveness is something that will help you to have wholeness. It will help you to have healing. It will heal the wounds of your life. And it's something so important that we all need to step into. So, okay, that's it. I'm really for real legit done now. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, you are so good to us that you forgive our billions of dollars worth of sin and debt that we have caused against you, God. We sin against you, Lord, and you forgive us all of it. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to always remember how big the debt is that you have paid on our behalf, so that we will be more generous to forgive others of the debt that they have done against us. Lord, and there's some people in this room, they have had absolutely 100% horrific things happen to them in their lives, Lord, and they need healing. And they have built up walls because of the hurt and the pain of the abuse that they've been through. And God, I pray for those people in this room right now that they will feel seen and that they will feel loved and that they will feel known and they will feel cared for. And that you will help them to brick by brick break down that wall. And that they will learn how to forgive the person that sinned against them, not in their own power, God, but 100% in yours, by the strength of Jesus, that they will learn how to forgive, so that they will be able to walk around in wholeness and in healing. Lord, help us to always remember that forgiveness is really only about two people, Jesus and me. Jesus and us. Just Jesus and you. It's only about two people. And I pray, Lord, that we'll remember that as we go from here. In your name I pray. Amen.